Hey everybody, welcome back to Rugby Wrap-Up at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network. I have the pleasure today of being with esteemed guests slash colleagues. In this particular segment, we have Mr. Joe Kelly, head coach of the Greenwich High School program and a rugby legend here on the East Coast. Next to him is another rugby legend from a different era or era, Mr. Seamus Kelly, Xavier High School, Cal Bear, and USA Rugby Eagle. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having us.
Seamus, Joe, you're going to have to speak as close to the mic as possible. Right. They were at the pre-production meeting, and I don't understand what the problem is, guys.
Well, haven't spoken yet, Mike. Matt.
Matt, it's Matt. Matt. It is Matt. How you doing,
okay.
Bob?
Okay, good, Mike.
All right,
Matt.
We're off to a great start here at show number five. Show number five, guys.
Is this the last one?
Yeah. Oh, Seamus, could you pass me the bell there?
Oh, no, right staying there? Here.
There you go. So this gentleman, in case you didn't know, is the, if you're talking too much or you're doing something wrong, bell, just because we're on a budget of time. So allegedly joining us in the studio later will be Phaedra Knight and Mark Griffin, but we're going to get started with these two young lads. Gentlemen, you're both very familiar with the pathway to success sort of in the United States of America. Joe, as a coach and former player, you've got that Greenwich High School program up and running. Seamus, you've gone against Greenwich High School a number of times. Now it's kind of evened out where you used to run them off the pitch, probably because you're not on the squad anymore, right. But you won't say that. Seamus, what's that like, seeing the landscape has changed somewhat? There are more teams, it's more competitive.
That's huge. You know, we used to rely on 1 to 2 games locally each season that you could count on some solid competition. Greenwich and Fairfield Prep usually had a good program. But the fact that you don't have to travel across the country or out of the country and still be able to get high-quality competition at that level is massive for the game. So. Well, and I've seen a few of them, and it's great. It's great quality rugby out there.
Well, Joe, the Kansas City High School National Championships, Greenwich and Xavier, you locked horns in an unbelievable match. I got to see that one. It was tied after extra time. Kickoff, one round of kickoffs went through, and then it was finally who missed. And one of your guys missed. He's in Siberia right now.
Exactly.
In detention, Xavier.
We don't talk about that.
Correct. Enola, he has been his identity has been redacted. But Joe, what was that like?
Well, it's exciting. It was the second time we had played him in the season, and the first time went in Xavier's favor. The second time was for us, the big time, because that was at the national championship. And at the national championship, that's where the big stage is, that's where the big show is, and that's where we were lucky enough to pull away with a victory. It was a very even game. We started out stronger than they did. They caught up to us. I think it was the last couple of minutes of the game. Xavier came and scored to tie it up. Went into two sessions of 5-minute overtimes. Not a point was scored. We each very cleverly put our kickers out on the field when we could at the end of the overtime.
That, yeah.
We had a couple of, I guess, maybe tourists who were along with us, who were soccer players and aspiring rugby players, who were able to sneak onto the pitch in the last 30 seconds of the game to help us with the kicking duties.
That's brilliant.
So it worked out very good. It was a very exciting game.
Yeah, Seamus, I thought I knew a lot about rugby, and I was doing the color commentary and play by play for the matches earlier, and there was a similar situation. So I go over quietly to tell my two friends, coaches Kelly and Tolkien, and Greg Norris and Joe Sweeney, because you guys had 17 coaches. So I go over and I'm telling them independently, make sure you have your good kicker. And they all looked at me like I had four heads, like, yeah, no kidding, guy. Okay. Hit the bricks. I'm like, I see.
Just making sure.
Yeah, guys taking off their soccer equipment and coming into the match.
Exactly. Right. Well, you kind of took us by surprise with that. We didn't know what you were saying. We were caught up in the match, and you sounded like Charlie Brown's teacher when you were talking to us. Exactly. We didn't want to hear what you had to say. Right. We were trying to figure out how to win the game. So thanks, Matt.
Story of my life. Speaking of not wanting to hear what you have to say, I'm going to turn it over to Mr. Seamus Kelly. Seamus, your history is pretty much what we had as a pathway for somebody your age. There really wasn't a whole lot for you to play before high school, right? And you were an American football player.
Right.
But you made the decision to commit to rugby after high school. Is that accurate?
Yeah, accurate.
And Cal is also one of the top programs, if not the top program for rugby for college players in the United States. So you had Xavier, Cal, and then the Eagles.
Yeah.
What was that like?
To start, pretty lucky, pretty fortunate to have those quality of coaches at each step of the way, and have that type of setup and support from each program, each school. You know, that's a massive factor in the success I was able to have. But you know, from the outset, it's the fact that there's real structure, real systems, and there's a real culture and history at all those programs, and it gives you a pathway, and it gives you more an ambition of, you know.
Yeah, you had Jack Clark.
Yeah.
You had Mike Tolkien right there, both of them Eagles coaches.
Tom Billups.
Sorry, Tom. Yeah, so you had that fortune. Did you feel a little bit of a disappointment that after the Rugby World Cup experience, after the winning traditions of Xavier and Cal, there really wasn't a professional setup here in the United States for you to pursue?
More so when I graduated from Cal, is finding that way to stay active and get high quality competition while you're preparing for international test matches. And we simply just don't have that in the U.S. right now. So now post-international, I'm not too concerned about that there's not a professional competition.
You're working.
But definitely, you know, in that time when I was training to play for the U.S., you know, not having high quality competition week in, week out with a professional setup was a real challenge.
All right, we have been alerted by my assistant Ronaldo that Mark Griffin is indeed in the building. Play Rugby USA guru Honcho and Daniel Craig look alike. 007 Rugby Bond from Studio 34 of the Fantasy Sports Network. We'll be right back after this.
So this is the 10th anniversary of the NYC Rugby Cup, which is hard to believe. It's come a long way. I think we've got over 60 teams here today, and they're all kitted out, representing different teams from across the country. We've always had a theme every year, and this is the culminating event for our partner programs and our community programs that work with us throughout the year to come and showcase their skills and their go-forward attitude as well. So it's super exciting to be celebrating the 10th anniversary. Thanks to AIG and Canterbury for supporting us, all the volunteers, all the sponsors, and especially the staff and volunteers. Some fantastic rugby, lots of sportsmanship, the kids still had a blast, and now, of course, now we've finished, the sun has come out, so that's the way it goes, I guess. Every day's a rugby day.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Rugby Wrap-Up at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network. We have added Mr. Mark Griffin. Mark, thank you for coming in.
No, you're welcome. That's only a two-block walk for me, so that's the last I could do.
He did demand a limo for that two-block walk. Just to
took me half an hour to get here.
Wait, he got a limo?
Going around the block over and over again. But Mark, we had started talking about the evolution of pathways in the United States for rugby now. And as a gentleman that's come over from a foreign country and done very well in rugby, playing for Team USA, as well as Mr. Kelly. We have another Mr. Kelly on the end there, who could have played had he not been injured by me a zillion times on the pitch. He's still got cleat marks across his chest from me running him over. But that's another episode.
Another episode.
Mark, you are the Play Rugby USA guy. You started Play Rugby USA. You toil every day to provide a pathway for kids to play rugby, and you've changed basically 20,000 lives, if I'm not mistaken, through your program. Is that accurate?
We've reached 20,000 kids for sure, yes.
Yeah, so to me that's changing a life, right? Because we were just talking to Seamus about him, his first exposure, although it was great, it was at a great level, it was Xavier High School.
Right.
So now if you have a Seamus Kelly playing Play Rugby USA rugby at 6 years old, it's going to be a whole different animal.
Yeah, I think, it's not rocket science for anyone, is it, to know that the earlier you start playing a game, the better opportunities you have to sort of get to mastery and just do almost like consciously without even having to think about it. And a lot of that just comes from repetitions and practice and obviously understanding the culture. So, yeah, the earlier the better.
So what day did you wake up and say, I'm going to start a youth? Hey, honey, I'm going to start a youth program. I'm going to quit my job. I could probably get a good one on Wall Street. I'm gonna start a rugby program for inner city kids. When did that happen? And did you hit your head?
Yeah, I mean, the aha moment really was you were talking about Coach Billups earlier, but the opportunity I had to play for the USA team, and in that year 2003. The specific moment for me was when I got to play for the USA in the first Churchill Cup in Vancouver against England. And being from England originally and playing for my now adopted nation against my original sort of home nation was a huge, just huge deal for me, and something I'll never forget. And it was after that game, and I left everything on the field in that game. It was after that game that I really reflected, and I realized that so many of the opportunities I'd had in life that I had taken had all come from one opportunity I was given from somebody believing in me at the age of 12 and asking me to
captain. At 12?
At 12. I was playing rugby from the age of 7 or 8, but I was given the opportunity at 12 to captain the school rugby team at a time when I was an average student.
Stealing cars.
Turned up. Yeah, I mean, that was a little beyond. I did drive a car around the farm.
We have a breaking story here, ladies and gentlemen.
And no confessions on tape. We'll save those for the break. But yeah, and look, at the end of the day, somebody believed in me and gave me an opportunity, and it completely changed my whole trajectory as a young person. And the reflection point for that was looking back, having played against England, and boiled it all down to that moment. And I was realizing at that point, well, banking's fine, enables me to travel the country and have fun playing rugby, but I want to provide that opportunity for young people that I was given, and specifically taking that opportunity kids that otherwise would never be given that opportunity.
Contrast, Joe, for us growing up, you played more rugby than I did. I didn't know what it was until I was in high school, and Sean Perrin told me.
Oh, you knew what it was in high school?
No, college. Okay. Sorry. All right. Sorry. College.
I'm still shocked finding out that Mark's from England. I thought he had a speech impediment, but now we know. So thank you for that.
I've been working on this speech impediment for 42 years.
Excellent. So with us starting out, we remember the days at Randall's Island with the manhole covers on the field, an opportunity to only the guy that played once or twice before is the coach of the team.
Yeah.
I remember
back. St. John's, right?
Iona. That's right. At Iona, the guy who, anyone know how to play this game at all? Anyone know a Xavier kid?
Yeah.
Oh, you do know a Xavier kid, so you could be the coach of the team. It would be very hard to find coaches for the team. It would be very hard for anyone to find anyone to tell us how to play the game. So we just sort of played the game as it went. It was a ugly game. We didn't learn the basics, and it was always nice finding or meeting guys that did know the basics. I remember when traveling teams from England would come over and try to get a game. They were great games. We came out of the game down 150 points to nothing, but the English guys would be limping off the field because we'd be American football tackling them all around. And they really felt us play in the manhole covers.
You knew where they were.
The look, the expression on people's faces when they came to Randall's Island and said, "Okay, we're going to play here today." Yeah.
But the structure has changed so much since we were younger, Matt, and what we see now with the OGRCC in Greenwich, the youth program with Play Rugby, teaching the young guys how to play and young girls how to play. It's just as we now enter half the kids, well, maybe a third of the kids in our freshman class this year at Greenwich High School had played for a couple of years before. That was unheard of in the past.
Yeah.
At college, if you had somebody who played for a year or two, that was amazing. Now we have all the kids who are at much higher levels with, as Seamus said, competitive teams that you could actually just maybe 45 minutes away for Xavier to travel to Greenwich. We got to play those games. We played rugby varsity for the first time this year. The game was a good match. It wasn't a blowout either way. It was a good match, and it was good to have a local team. And how far Play Rugby USA has come is tremendous.
I wanted to get back to Mark on that. Your program is now what age to what age?
Well, 4 to 18.
4 to 18. So the high school, he has single-handedly built that. I know you're going to deny this, but you pretty much built that Greenwich High School program.
No. Well, 31 years in existence. Steve Lapham coached it before me, did a great job, but we...
built it, right. Yep. Right.
We brought it to a nice, consistently competitive level.
Yeah, and you've got... You're witnessing at least some mutual growth, if you will.
For sure, and Joe's involved with our program, the Community Olympic Development Program. We're lucky enough, Seamus is involved with that, having a lot of talented people involved with that. But to have our kids have the opportunity to play varsity and JV rugby against Greenwich and Xavier. This year, for the first time, our JV team and our varsity team beat Xavier for the first time.
Wow.
And it was a depleted Xavier team after they had some injuries in the national championships, but nevertheless, it was a win and it counted, and both our boys and girls got to the state championship finals and they both lost, and that's okay. The fact of the matter is that they got there, and that's a rugby outcome, and we our program's designed for that to be a byproduct of the main outcome, which is all those kids have graduated and they've all gone to college, and that's the most important.
Well, half of the Xavier kids have been kidnapped and they're being farmed by the New York Athletic Club.
Nothing changes.
Seamus, you know that as well as I do. They take the best of the Xavier kids and hide them. It's like a Russian thing. But we'll be right back with more from this esteemed group right after this.
Sorry. Who could we put in for you?
Nick Mack.
Coach Mack, can you go in for Anthony?
Me?
You.
Okay.
All right.
Matt McCarthy with Joe Kelly, Seamus Kelly, they're not related that they know of, and Mr. Mark Griffin. We have Phaedra Knight in the building. She has been seen and located, so she's going to come on with the next in the next segment. But Seamus, before we lose you, because you have a job, and I wanted to talk about that because you have this great rugby career, Xavier, Team USA, started as a center at the Rugby World Cup in 2015. And then really the only thing you got left to decide is whether you're going to continue slugging it out at very little pay, if you will, to play for the Eagles while you're playing for the New York Athletic Club, or get a day job, right?
Right.
What was that decision like?
There was a lot that went into the decision, but my goal initially to when I started playing rugby seriously was to play in the World Cup. I looked at that as the pinnacle of the sport, and no better way really to that I could go out and represent the United States. So I accomplished that goal, and that was an inflection of where do I want to keep playing or do I want to set out on my next journey. So it was more that I just was looking for a new challenge, and there was a few other things that went into that decision.
Marriage on the horizon? All right. Just wondering if we're going down on rugby wrap up.
But yeah, it was, I had a great opportunity in front of me thanks to some networks that I built through the rugby community. I took that opportunity. And
so there is, in a way, kind of a network for you to follow in post-rugby to have some kind of a career.
Yeah, most of the people that I met that put me into positions to get an opportunity to, in the working world, in the real world, were through rugby connections, whether it be through Xavier or Cal. People I've met along the way, people I've competed against, people I've met at some of the play rugby events. So there is a great network and community out there that is really willing to, to step up and help, their fellow players.
Well, you've got a kid that graduated Greenwich High School, Luke Beanstock, who's working with Rugby Wrap Up now.
That's right.
And is light years beyond me in like film production.
Everything.
He's got his own pretty much everything.
Where are you setting the bar here?
Well, it's like I definitely hit my head diving into the shallow end of the gene pool, whereas this kid is going to be a future senator or astronaut.
He's at
Dartmouth now.
Yeah. First year.
Football team. Yeah. But he also has his own drone. He shoots video of the games. And then I'm like, who's this kid? And I expected this nerd that hangs out in his mom's basement. It's a star rugby player, football player, good-looking guy. Anyway, so he's got no worries. What about the kids from Play Rugby USA for careers after? You're trying to get them into college.
Yeah, and that's our sort of formal handoff, I suppose. One thing we're really proud of in New York is that 20% of our what we call youth development mentors, which is our sort of name for coach, 20% of those actually have come through our program and are now in community college or have finished college or university and work for us. So there's actually a career path within our program some people, which is fantastic. And the more talent we can develop organically like that, the more authentic, obviously, the whole program becomes.
So how old is the program?
We started in schools in the end of 2005. I incorporated the organization in 2003. So, but we've been in schools for 11 years, basically.
So you have kids now that have gone on, graduated, and succeeded. Some of the stories are so great. I mean, you're talking about Ivy League schools, jobs. I was talking to Ariel Diaz,
yeah.
Ariel Diaz, who's a kid. He was in Harlem RBI, reviving baseball in inner cities, a similar program to what you guys have. And then now he went through the rugby program, and now he's a coach. You know, and it's just, that actually got me misty.
And he's one of the best at being able to connect to the young people in the program, because he's come from the exact same background, overcome a lot of the same challenges. He knows what it's like to be one of those young people in Central Harlem, and he's sort of taken the opportunities he's been given, and he's an incredible role model, or you could say real model, because he's really, really come from that area, and that's the most authentic type of connection you can have with a young person. And the connection's the most important thing you need to influence a young person's life.
Yeah. Seamus, before we let you go, there are rumblings of different professional setups happening here in the United States. Again, you had Pro Rugby USA, but you had already committed to the professional world as a businessman, and now you're presented with, listen, next to me, you're definitely a businessman, okay? So don't laugh at that. These two are definitely, he sells uranium, folks, okay?
Somebody has to.
Yes, uranium. But MLR, the Major League Rugby setup, you've also got Super Sevens, the hybrid of Sevens coming out. Would you be tempted to come back, put on the boots?
That's not something I've thought about.
Your boss isn't watching.
Moment.
Don't worry about it.
No, I mean, it really hasn't factored into my plans.
$120,000 a year salary.
It wouldn't be about the money.
$250,000 a year salary to play rugby in the United States. In a New York franchise.
No, I mean, it's exciting that all that stuff is...
$350,000 in a pension.
Seamus, go ahead. Yes. Your boss isn't watching.
We got him a pension.
I'm pretty sure nobody's watching. Yeah. So go ahead and
when
say.
Does that pension kick in?
Right after this show gets picked up.
Perfect.
All right. On that note, thank you, Seamus. I appreciate you coming in, my friend, as always.
Thanks for having me.
Solid citizen. We wish you Pop the best.
I appreciate it.
Joseph, you're going to stick with us, and Mark, you're going to stick with us. We have Miss Phaedra Knight coming in, the Eagle and New York Rugby Club legend, right after this from Studio 34.
Michael Petry, three-time Rugby World Cup scrum half for Team USA's Men's Eagles. What do you make of this high school rugby national championship here in Kansas City?
It's an amazing atmosphere. It's an amazing tournament. I mean, the organizers did a fantastic job. There's so much support from so many different people. I mean, you know, sponsors like the Murphy Kennedy Group just really are what make this happen. And, you know, the athleticism on display here is only a testament to how far we've come as a rugby nation. You know, when I reflect back on my experiences when I was in high school at the national championship tournament, and you know, and the what's on showcase here, it's night and day. I mean, these kids are so much better, so much better athletes, and so much more aware in terms of their rugby IQ. I think the future is very bright for rugby in our country for sure.
Rugby wrap up: Matt McCarthy with Joe Kelly, Phaedra Knight, and Mark Griffin. Here at the Fantasy Sports Networks for Rugby Wrap-Up. Phaedra, welcome. We're going to throw you right into the fire. You witnessed the tail end of that with Seamus. We were talking about pathways. We were talking about careers after rugby. Are you still in the running for the World Cup in Dublin?
I am technically still in the running. I'm technically still a part of the pool. I played last week against USA with the WPL's All-Stars. Just finished up training today, so yes, as for all, you know, intensive purposes, I am still in the running.
Well, let me say this is the only editorial I'm going to offer. If I'm a network or a production company covering the Rugby World Cup and I'm heading the team and there's a shot at getting you on the roster as both a correspondent and a player, that's what I'm doing. I mean, I'm just saying it's an opportunity to fourth World Cup. How many times do we have an athlete in a fourth World Cup pool that can actually speak on camera, right?
Well, I'm not so certain that that is the agenda of the folks in charge.
Well, it's my agenda.
Right. but that's not there. So
all right.
They've got clearly other, you know, other interests, you know, as it's probably, I don't know if it's clear or not, I wasn't selected to the for the long camp, which is currently ongoing in Chula Vista. But it doesn't necessarily mean that I won't get a call up in the event of an injury. So I remain hopeful. I've committed. I made the commitment to USA Rugby, to the U.S. Women's National Team, that I would continue to train in a way that would lend me to be very.
No, I've
fit
never
and
known
ready.
You not to ever do that to begin with.
So yeah. So you know whether I agree with the decision to not make the long camp or not is irrelevant. I continue to, you know, control the things that I can control and leave the rest up, you know,
all
to
right,
the universe.
Well, then let me ask you this, because people are complaining that the women haven't had proper competition before the Rugby World Cup. I mean, you played for the WPL All-Stars,
yep.
right? But isn't that a pool of players that are second in line to play for the World Cup team, potentially?
You know, a number of those players are second in line, if you will. It's arguably, you know, been stated that some of those players should be in camp. So, yeah, I mean, you're talking and
but you're not playing against another country warming up.
Right, right. They're playing against the WPL team. And
right.
if you know, look at the results. I thought that I captained that team last week. It was such an honor to be in the midst of such awesome people, great players who, led by James English and Beckett Royce, took to a game plan that they had absolutely no exposure to prior to
right.
2 days of intense, probably 5 hour total trainings per day, and were able to come out on the field and keep the U.S., you know, limited to 45 points. And it's
right,
it's arguable
right.
whether we scored, you know, 12.
Just 45 points, right.
Just 45
right,
points,
right.
right?
But now you are a member of the board of directors.
I am a member of the board of directors.
And perhaps you can do something to exact some change.
Absolutely. You know, I will admit that over the last couple of months, my attention has been directed at training, preparing for, you know, World Cup. Now that I am, you know, or soon I will know one way or the other if I'm going to be a part of that group, if I'll be a part of another group. But either way, my attention will go to more of the board matters and trying to, or not trying, but absolutely creating change and affecting change in the resource allocation for the women, but also as a players association leader, in guaranteeing that players are both men and women getting the things they deserve. You know,
right.
player welfare is
right.
preserved, restored, actually established.
Yeah, Luke Hume brought that up last
Absolutely.
Week too. Yeah, with Ken Pape.
Yep.
Mark, speaking of the board of directors, you were at the RIBA. Network, not RIBA, is it?
Rugby Business Executives.
Yeah.
Got
okay.
most of the words
okay.
there.
You were there last week in San Diego. What was
I was
that like?
At that thing, yes.
Yeah, you were at that thing. What was it like?
I was at that thing. Well, what I enjoyed about it was actually meeting some new people, and the fact that it had a business lens on it, I think, is what rugby needs. We need to be looking at rugby as a business, even if some of the people involved are running amateur programs. You've still got to run them like a business. So that I think there was a good mix of people there. There's a lot of goodwill in the room. There was certainly a lot of respect between everybody in the tone of the conversations that was had, even though there were some difficult conversations. And it provided, I would say, some headline insight into some of the challenges, obviously some of the opportunities ahead, and what some of the gaps are in terms of what USA Rugby would need, and what we need as a community of people in USA Rugby, Rugby in America, to sort of hit the goals for the 2020 strategic plan. So, so it was a good group of people, a lot of good conversations, and some good networking, including watching the British Lions match in the early hours of the morning, which I did struggle to stay awake for, I have to say.
Well, Joe, you're pretty in tune with what's going on. What do you make of the whole thing with Tony Ridnell wanting to actually just be placed as the chairman of the board of directors for USA Rugby and replace Will Chang?
Well, it seems he wants to take a different business point of view, and being a businessman myself, having been a senior director of a large firm and now a CEO of my own small commodities brokerage firm, I take a business look at things on a regular basis and spend a lot of time in rugby. So seeing a businessman taking a business point of view on things makes sense as far as a transition. It has to be looked at as a business. It can't be looked at just as a sport. So you have to have business minds running this thing, not non-business minds. And then spending time at the high school side, seeing the high school side about to explode into where the opportunity I see in this sport is with youth and with high school. Now that the colleges are doing their part, the colleges are legitimizing the game. As they legitimize the game, the prize for the high school kids is going to be the colleges. As they find their opportunity to get into those colleges, right now, there's, according to Wikipedia, there's 1,200 high school teams. There's 900 college teams. In football, American football, there's 15,000 high school teams and 700-plus college teams.
Wow.
So your numbers are saying that you should be certainly encouraging your kids to play high school rugby because your opportunity to play at the next level is great. And once the colleges legitimize it, as they're doing right now, the prize is there for the high school kids to do.
The NCAA for women, they've made the first move toward that.
Absolutely, but we need to step it up because there's a plethora of opportunity, and we're kind of behind, and that came out at the – I was also at the
– at the thing.
At the thing last week. And I think Jack Clark said it best, you know, we're behind. We need to catch up. We need to be on a different page with the women's game. But it's a collective thing, and I agree with you. Youth rugby, high school rugby is going to be the feeder to college rugby, and that's going to legitimize that'll legitimize. Yeah, national team is great, but those things have to be in place in order to guarantee a successful national team.
Well, unfortunately, as is the case, we're out of time. These things just fly by, folks. And I just want to thank you, Mr. Joe Kelly, Phaedra Knight, and they happen to be members of the New York Rugby Club with me, with yours truly, so we'll plug the club right there. And Mr. Mark Griffin, the honorary member of the New York Rugby Club. And Seamus Kelly, who was in earlier sitting with the New York Rugby Club jacket behind him, making his skin crawl, a member of the New York Athletic Club. Matt McCarthy, on behalf of all these great guests, for Rugby Wrap-Up at Studio 34, the Fantasy Sports Network, here at the Renaissance Hotel on West 35th Street, for Rugby Wrap-Up, signing off.